I will turn now to some of our experiences at Rice Institute, as then it was known. Since you and I and Mother are the only ones in the family who've had the Rice Institute at Rice University experience, I hope that you will succeed to the books in my library entitled The Book of the Opening, which contain all of the ceremonies at the dedication of Rice Institute in 1912. You can imagine perhaps how green I was, and I assume Mother was equally green, and arriving at Rice Institute in the fall of 1926 from Central High School, which was not a very good high school. It was downtown. It had no high school life as such. I think we went either in the morning or the afternoon most of the time that we were there, and somehow or other you didn't get to know members of the class very well. At any rate, without any particularly great academic background, through high school or through family, I arrived at the Rice Institute in the fall of 1926, and during the first week I was a freshman, sitting in the physics amphitheater. The back door of the physics amphitheater opened, and Dr. Edgar Odell Lovett came in wearing a derby hat and carrying a cane and a manuscript, and he put his hat and his cane down on the lectern and started to deliver a speech to the freshmen. And it was one of the most remarkable things I had heard up to that point, because he talked about three characters out of history who had something in common with the message that he was going to deliver to us as freshmen. I can only remember two of them. One of them was Thomas Jefferson, and the other was Pindar, the Greek poet. But I'd never heard anything like that before in my life, and it struck me that I was indeed in a rare place, and that was borne out by my future experience. Lovett, in his subsequent speeches, often pointed to the inscriptions on the exterior wall of what is now Lovett Hall, which bear out the dedication of Rice to letters, science, and art. And the one inscription for two letters of the tablet to letters is a sentence from Pindar the poet, which reads, "The thing that one says well goes forth with a voice unto the everlasting." And then next to it is a tablet to science, which bears a profile of Isaac Newton and has a verse from the book of Job, "Speak to the earth and it shall teach thee." And next to that is a tablet to art, which bears the head of Leonardo da Vinci and is inscribed, "The chief function of art is to make gentle the life of the world." Lovett also mentioned many times the cornerstone of Rice Institute. Over and over again, you would hear him say this in speeches he delivered, which is and it contains a dedication to the study of science for its own sake. And the inscription is a quotation from the Greek philosopher Democritus, and it reads this way. Incidentally, the inscription is in Greek. And it reads, "Rather, said Democritus, would I discover the cause of one fact than become king of the Persians." And Lovett used to always add that this declaration was made at a time when to be king of the Persians was to rule the world. So it was into this atmosphere that I was suddenly evolved, and it was a terrific transformation, because I'd never had the experience of anything like it. It was completely, absolutely, completely new. Somehow or other than the Illig family, there wasn't any discussion of the so-called finer things of life. And nobody had been to college, and nobody had read a great deal, and nobody had heard of these great people who had shaped our past. Two things out of my Rice education seem to be more important than others, and one of them was the insistence by many teachers in many courses of the great importance to mankind of the Renaissance, that period from about the beginning of the 14th century through the 16th century, when the world seemed to awaken out of its lethargy and shake off the Middle Ages. and to move forward into many fields, including art and science, and later into industry and technology. And the other was the teaching from biology of the Darwinian theory of evolution. I didn't take biology till I was a junior, and I assume I'd heard of evolution before that time, but I'd never really contemplated it very seriously. And that indeed was a great revelation to me, and I took it very seriously and began to have a much better understanding of the nature of men and why they act as they do, because of the education I got through this particular biology course. Since then, it hasn't bothered me a great deal with the teaching of evolution may seem on its face to be contrary to the teaching of the book of Genesis. I don't think it's very important at all to try to draw too sharp a conflict between those two theories. The book of Genesis, on the one hand, is merely an attempt by some very ancient people to explain the world in which they suddenly found themselves. The Darwinian theory of evolution is a detailed study made after many years, and indeed by many people, which arrives at the real truth regarding the origin of mankind. It doesn't follow, of course, because the Darwinian theory of evolution is true, then the man is not endowed with the Spirit of God. You only have to look at the great painting on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel in Rome, part of the Vatican, and then you may recall that great mural, which shows the lifelike picture of God leaning forward to touch with his fingers a man who is next to him, and thereby imbuing him with the Spirit. As I say, you and I and Mother are the only one that have had this rice experience, and I hope it has meant almost as much to you as it meant to me. Certainly has shaped my thinking and the way I've attempted to act over many years. I'm, of course, not ungrateful to the education I got at the University of Texas Law School, because through that, and perhaps through that alone, I've been able to make a living for these many years. And yet the contrast between the University of Texas and Rice is so great. The architecture, for example, the buildings at the university are rather plain. There's nothing, there's no inscriptions on them except a few cattle brands. And the whole thrust of a large part of the educational segment of the institution is centered around the fraternity system and methods of developing political finesse. Just a different place altogether than...